7 past 12, Chad Hartman. Bonus Adam Carter, Dave Harrigan here. We're here till 3. DeRusha follows us. Will it be another soul-crushing loss for the ball club tonight? Soul-crushing loss. Monday, soul-crushing loss. Tuesday, soul-crushing loss. Thursday, what time is opening tap from the Boston Garden, Twins and the Celtics tonight?
It's this evening, Chad.
Yeah.
It's coming up this evening.
I think I did say tonight, didn't I?
Yes, I'm simply just killing time here.
Oh, 6-10. Oh, I see.
6-10.
I see. 6-10, so DeRusha, 5:30 out.
Yes.
5:30 out. Text me right now. What is the greatest invention in the last 150 years in America? We get to use it in America. I don't care if it was in Botswana, England, Australia. What is the greatest invention last 150 years? I did ask Adam this before the show. Dave, do you know his answer?
I'm a little scared to figure out, find out what his answer
Pornhub,
is.
Pornhub, he said.
Okay.
I mean, what's happened to you?
Yeah.
What's happened to you? By the way, the texters were all upset about the electile dysfunction ad.
Brilliant ad.
It's really a funny ad. And it's an adult bleeping radio station. Calm down. There's 800 billion ED commercials out there. Grow up. Oh, I'm so disgusted. I'm never going to listen again. And then you text the next show five times. So, I mean, just let's calm down. I ask this because I've been reasonably busy this week. Not yesterday on the show, clearly. So Wednesday morning, left fairly early, grabbed a little food out of the fridge. Quinn was brought to grandma's. Work here, then a work meeting, a little acupuncture, met somebody out, didn't even open the fridge when I came home. I opened up the fridge yesterday, and the fridge is about the same temperature as this room.
Yeah.
The refrigerator and the freezer, both not working.
Ooh.
Both not working. You know me, handyman that I am. I can figure it out right away. I got to call Clyde. Everett, do you have a handyman?
No.
Well, you're not that handy.
Her name is Jennifer.
Yeah, that's the key,
She's
by the way.
Much more handy than
Oh, my gosh. Everybody I've been in a relationship with is way handier than me, but the bar is not high.
No.
Right? So Clyde, it's an LG, by the way. I think they're fine. Dave's telling me if I have to replace it, I should just get one that I make in the basement, you know, my own refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, if you're planning on leaving the place you're in right now, don't spend $2,000 on a fridge.
But
get a nice shiny one that looks good, doesn't cost too much. Move along.
Yeah.
Got a point.
Yeah, but I think you were like, you got to find the discount one. Don't people like the refrigerator if they're buying a house? Do they want the crappy looking refrigerator?
I think as long as it looks good from the outside.
That's stainless. Right. If it's stainless.
Stainless.
All
stainless.
That matters.
Yeah. And what if I lock it? I say, I don't want you looking at my food. You know?
Yes. Chain it up.
So I'm a Wednesday garbage person. What day do you
Tuesday.
Have? Tuesday.
Tuesday? Tuesday as well.
Tuesday. Okay. So we're core center week. So I'm cleaning out the refrigerator.
Jermaine Wiggins,
yes. I'm cleaning that refrigerator out late yesterday afternoon, muttering, not happy. Just had bought a ton of groceries, including filling that freezer with a lot of meat.
Okay.
So really pleased. Really pleased. And I'm thinking, well, if I put this meat out in the garbage.
Oh.
What sort of display am I going to have in that garbage by Monday?
Ugh, bears.
I mean, it could be a catastrophe. However, Kathleen, I pay attention. She's a Friday garbage person.
Ah.
And she's traveling the globe right
now. Mm.
So I'm emptying things out. Quentin's having physical therapy. And I forget to realize that the soy sauce opens if you turn to the right, opens if you turn to the left, and somehow it leaks. Don't you have that? Do you have that soy sauce that goes both ways? You're an expert at going both ways.
Offense and defense.
Yes, exactly. And it proceeds to leak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. The Kikkoman with the red top.
Kikkoman. Yeah. Kikkoman.
One big hole, one small hole.
What's happened to CeCe? Proceeds to leak all over the floors. The hardwood floors, the mudroom. You like it sticky. It's sticky everywhere.
And you get the smell.
And the soy sauce smell permeating my house and even a little bit in the car. How do you think I feel about that?
Embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
Ashamed. Regretful.
Angry.
Angry.
Yeah. Dave?
Maybe a little hungry.
Hungry, yeah.
Yeah. You know what matters? A refrigerator.
Yes.
A refrigerator matters. So Swiffer Part 2 today, I don't think the Swiffer is the greatest invention of all time, but it's a good one.
Yep.
You have a Swiffer?
Yeah, I believe we have got a couple Swiffers.
Oh, really? Doesn't know, apparently.
Several different
apparently the women at the house clean. Is that what you're hinting at right there?
Well, I mean, am I wrong?
Am I wrong?
This is your early entry.
Early.
Calm down, young
okay.
man.
Do you have a Swiffer?
No, we have a similar thing, but the pads are washable, so you don't have to throw them away.
So you're saving money on your Swiffer imitator.
Saving the environment is what we're doing,
saving the environment. Every house should have a Swiffer. What is the greatest? Now, I see our guy Brian Sullivan, not knowing about my refrigerator catastrophe, suggested today that air conditioning may be the greatest invention of the last 100 years. He makes the point, think of all of our hot states. How could we live in those hot states without air conditioning?
It's literally saved lives, you could say.
Absolutely.
Right? So, greater invention, air conditioning, or refrigeration?
Well, they're very similar. Because we're talking about Freon, right? I mean, aren't that?
I think we are. Clyde's using the word compressor a lot.
Compressor.
Yeah.
Right.
Worried the compressor is cooked and then I might be in deep trouble.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a refrigerator, you can't eat.
Yeah, I think the refrigerator's more.
I think the refrigerator is a greater invention than the air conditioner. Dave Harrigan. I can see you're thinking about it.
Trying to think of which one I would rather live without.
You can't eat without a refrigerator.
Well, you can. You have a pantry that you can put shelf-stable things in.
Don't want anything fresh.
People did it back in the day with the ice box.
Ice chest.
You know, just get...
You're just going to get one of those coolers at Tom Thumb? And,
yeah, get a Yeti. Those things hold stuff cold for days on end.
A Yeti.
I think I'd rather live without the AC. I think the refrigerator is a little bit more vital to my existence.
Yeah.
I do too.
Now, if we were doing the survey in Phoenix, they might say au contraire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else? Greatest? Text me 651-461-9226. The cell phone.
Well, this is top of mind, specifically our GPS apps now, like our Apple Maps now, where they will tell you when you will arrive at a place within the minute. And it's almost always true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the point now where it gives you, like, it tells you to avoid
bypass
traffic.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes tells you speed traps.
Yep.
Right?
That's pretty good. But
that's a good one.
I mean, Again, we could live without that stuff.
I think we could. Yeah. Would you like to be driving with the person next to you with the giant map?
The Hudson, remember the old Hudson map book?
Why did Hudson, Wisconsin, lead the league
I
in
don't
that?
Know.
Would you like to drive tonight with the lobster? You're driving, and she's flipping the map around everywhere you're going. Cell phone, Harrigan. Where does the cell phone rank among the greatest inventions last 100 years or so?
It's good, but it's not vital. It's not close to the refrigerator or the AC. You could even say the, commercialization of the automobile, making it so everybody can have one.
Especially, some people could make the argument that life would be better without the cell phone.
Would you like to make that argument? Because I think you're wrong.
No, but I think, whereas nobody's going to say, boy, life was better without a refrigerator.
Yeah. I've already received a number of texts saying, overrated, underrated, properly rated, is one of the greatest inventions of all time.
You mean the open?
Maybe it's just the song.
Yeah.
Maybe just the song. Do you have a suggestion, Dave Harrigan, before we pause and get to the texters? Because there's got to be plenty.
Amazon.
Jeff Bezos, apparently,
enters the chat.
Yeah. The vice president was wearing those earphones where she was getting all the questions from ABC. Dave Harrigan has an earpiece from Jeff Bezos.
Hey, the internet was good before Amazon.
Yeah.
Then they arrived with free two-day shipping. I'm on board.
Well, sometimes it's like an hour later and it's at your house.
Yes.
You're thinking, is the next neighborhood, is it an Amazon factory? That's right up there. How about for you? I thought you might go weights because you're hanging and banging a lot.
Clanging and banging.
Sometimes hanging.
I used to.
Yeah, I think that was back to your earlier mention. Yeah. I suggested, 651-461-9226. What is the greatest invention of all time? And by the way, if you want to have some humor with it, if you want to go wrong answers only, we can go that also. 651-461-9226. Greatest inventions of all time. Bonus Carter for this. Let's go to the calls, and I'll read a lot of texts. Adam in Robbinsdale. Adam, you're on.
So I know we like to give Harrigan a lot of crap about Woodbury, but it just got done with Prestwick, underrated golf city, Woodbury.
Prestwick is an excellent golf course. I agree 100%.
So, greatest invention, hands down, of all time. The fork. Think about where we would be without the fork.
Yeah.
How would you eat pasta without a fork? Think about the poem about the fork in the road. That wouldn't be all these things in society would not happen without the fork.
Yeah, Carter.
The pitchfork. The painting with the old couple in the farm
holding up the fork.
Pitchfork.
Right.
That wouldn't. Yeah.
American Gothic, I believe it's called.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Sniff after you say that.
Picasso has entered the room. Thank you, Adam. I think the fork's a pretty good one. What do you think?
I think you're going back over 100 years, though, right? We've had the fork for more than 100 years.
Yeah.
I mean, just,
I'll get to Jack in a second here. Some cell phones, vaccines. Well, not now.
Yeah.
Not now, vaccines.
Ah, okay.
Optional.
It must be a farmer rep, big farmer rep. Pfizer rep.
If Donald wins and RFK Jr. is in charge of our vaccine policy, good luck to all of us. The Odyssey app. Scotch tape. The mute button when watching a football game so you don't have to listen to commercials. How about the mute button on the Twitter machine?
Yeah.
Condoms, obviously. If people are telling you the election ad is not funny, maybe it's not funny. And, Chad, you should calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down. Adult station or not, that ED commercial is an eye roller. But it's not offensive. Like, we've had three or four people. My children are in the car. Don't slip on the soy sauce with your house walking. It's a concern. I had to walk around it last night. The microscope. Light bulb. Internal combustion engine. Cold beer. Sliced bread. Automobile. Personal computer. Oh, here's good. Our LG died 2 weeks ago. Good effing luck getting another. That's really what I want to hear. What do you think a ballpark is when I'm going to have a functioning fridge if it doesn't work today?
2 weeks.
Oh. The razor. Modern plumbing and sewage system. Disposable diapers. The orange peeler.
How about the Popeil pocket fisherman?
Yes. The NFL red zone.
Oh.
This person needs to roll an ankle today. Ketchup and mayo.
Yuck.
Tubbs, Dave, likes them together. That's what we found out the other day.
Excuse me?
You're never allowed to take another day off.
Oh.
Ever. Jack has called in. By the way, I got another one before you speak, Jack. The California Psychics. Yes. They're near the top of the list. Go ahead, Jack. You're on.
You guys aren't even close. You're not even close. The greatest invention of all time is electricity. Without electricity, all the crap you guys just talked about, none of it would exist. None of it would exist. CCO radio would not exist. Nothing would. Whatever you're making, whatever you're manufacturing, you name it, electricity, baby.
Pretty solid, Carter.
He's got a point.
Got a point. Laura, do you want to add one? Okay, come on in, Laura.
We didn't really invent electricity, though. I mean, we harnessed it.
We captured it.
Ben Franklin.
We had to capture, though, and it's over 100 years, too, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know?
Laura, what do you have?
I think you're missing the obvious.
Oh.
The toilet.
Yeah, the toilets.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. What would you rather be out? Refrigerator, air conditioner, the toilet?
I think probably the air conditioner. As much as I hate sweating, I could do without it.
Okay, so AC's out.
AC's out.
Okay, now
I need the fridge, and I really need the toilet.
Yeah, but one has to go.
Okay, probably the fridge. You can use a cooler, or you can eat stuff out of your pantry.
You can use a cooler for the other one, too. Been there, done that.
Surprise, surprise.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Reaching for a cold one.
Whoa.
What the heck?
This is when I show up at my neighbor Bill's place.
You poop in his cooler?
No, I don't poop in his cooler. Would you rather go to the neighbor and say, for 2 weeks,
you got to use your toilet.
I have to use your toilet?
Just had a burrito.
Or I have to use your refrigerator?
Neither. But
you have to pick one.
Well.
You have to select one. Which one, Carter?
I'd rather use the fridge because the toilet is too unpredictable.
Yeah.
It just is.
It could cause a lot of problems.
You get a bad flusher. You get a teenage boy. There's just a lot of things that could go wrong there.
How many neighbors would you all have to go to? No.
Right.
No.
Please. Please, could I use your bathroom?
I mean, you're back again? What did you eat?
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have? World without pockets on our clothes. That'd be a problem.
Zipper? The zipper?
Yeah. Greatest infection? I was going to the
infection.
Next word. Sex? It's got to be top five, right?
I'm assuming that's also over 100 years old, but.
Yeah. The Titleist Pro V1. Oh, my God. The sniff. Enough. Can't imagine hearing that for 4 more years. Do it like 4 more times.
4 more years, what did I get it?
Keep going. Yeah, I mean, very upset. And by the way, the texter who was going at Jordana was strong on Trump. You know the three of us, big Trump fans. But then took a cheap shot at Jordana because she's divorced.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, by the way, I'm divorced. You're divorced. You're not divorced. So is, what, about 60% of the population? And I think the person finished the text praising Trump. Excuse me?
I was going to say, self-made millionaire, too, by the way.
Self-made millionaere. He was given, what, $50 to $250 million. And he's...
Several marriages, is the last time I checked.
Yes, and several affairs. And he's made a lot more money, and he's lost it. But, I mean, when you're going at somebody, and you're going to point out marriages, and then you're bragging about Trump.
Yes.
Hello? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Major Garrett, next. Yeah, Dave, whenever we hear the copy machine, Dave is rotating his head. That's what I'm thinking, too. I don't think the head is steady when you're imitating the copy machine. Are you rotating the head clockwise, counterclockwise, or is it a set, rigid head?
I rotate it left to right, and I move my arms.
Really? I did not know the arms would be part of it too.
This is physical comedy as expressed via radio.
Exactly. Laurel and Hardy have now joined us.
No. Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin is more my style.
Very nice. Nothing better than a silent talkie on radio. It's really
my speciality. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Very subjective. Okay, let's
bring the silence to great radio.
Yes,
that's what I do.
The important pauses, which are a strong part of a baseball broadcast. Let's start with the Middle East and what this week.
Underappreciated part.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Trust
currently,
me.
Currently.
Yes, that is correct. Emphasizing that. Correct. What a week in the Middle East with Israel and technology, with pagers, with walkie-talkies, and then not attacks at Gaza, not attacks at Hamas, but going after Hezbollah. Hezbollah attacking once again at Israel. Israel saying today they've killed a top leader. Where are we headed? There has been this conversation and fear that whether it's the longstanding battle with Hamas, the longstanding battle with Hezbollah, the concern about when and if other countries would get in the Middle East, how we would react. How seminal is this week regarding what the next few months could be like or the next few years might be like in the Middle East?
You know, we'll know in about 3 or 4 months, and that's not a cop-out, but the phrase that has come from the Biden administration for weeks, if not months, is we don't want this to rapidly escalate and get out of control. Okay, well, that rapid part hasn't happened, but you can't look at the last 2 months in the region and say things haven't escalated. They've just sort of escalated gradually. Like, each marker is reached, an escalatory one, then there's kind of pause by both sides and sort of rhetoric, well, we'll see where things are. Then there's another move to escalate. And it doesn't blow completely out of control or establish a battle space that encompasses the entire region, but it still gets worse. More people die. The either lethality or ingenuity, or probably both, of the attacks increases, certainly on the Israeli side. And this thing this week is of a kind of not incomprehensible, but advanced technological means of warfare that was theorized, but we've never seen.
No.
Like, could anyone intercept, implant, and then trigger beepers or walkie-talkies under a certain circumstance?
Yeah.
That's been theorized, but, man, it happened. It happened with strategic implications we don't know the bottom line of. We just don't know. We don't know how Hezbollah is going to think about this because, remember, they made the shift to beepers because they were under the very real impression that their cell phone communications had been compromised by Israeli intelligence. So they went down the technological ladder in a more crude sort of 80s, 90s direction, thinking that would be safer.
Yeah.
Proved to be more lethal.
I thought I was watching The Wire when I was reading about pagers.
Yeah, I mean,
and beepers.
And then you continue to have Houthi attacks into Israel proper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Iran is constantly playing its malevolent role. And Israel's politics are, by turns, unified and divided over its fate, over the leadership of the Netanyahu government, over what to do in Gaza, and the fate of the remaining hostages. All of it is bitter, bloody, and so deeply traumatizing. I can't predict what's going to happen. I can't at all. Because if you'd asked me a week ago, I would say, well, things are sort of slightly escalating, but it seems of the traditional kind of warfare. Rockets fired from Lebanon, counterstrikes from Israel, and the like. I did not have beepers, walkie-talkies turned into miniature bombs by remote control on my list of probabilities at all.
No, and let's add this. Excuse me. If Israel has this ability to do this, how far away is it where other countries, maybe ourselves included, can do this with cell phones? And the whole world has cell phones, and how we might remember this was just the start of incredibly different warfare where it's with you all the time. And the individuals they're targeting or individuals who are Americans who are targeted, and how this changes mm-hmm. everything. There's a Wall Street Journal story today, which I'm sure you saw, if not read it or on Twitter, where they're reporting that U.S. officials are conceding that a ceasefire is out of reach during the Biden administration. That's pretty stunning, I would say, yeah. considering the number of times Joe Biden told us we're close, we're almost there, and the multitude of other countries involved. I mean, is this a matter of all parties saying, let's see who's running the shop in January? Or what's your read on how this is playing out?
Well, it might be the latter. Let's see who's going to be elected. I don't think they need that question in their minds, meaning the parties negotiating, to not reach a deal. Look, the requirements of the Israelis are unacceptable and have been to Hamas for months. The requirements of Hamas aren't acceptable to the Israelis. The Egyptians do not have the negotiating clout to make this happen. The Jordanians don't. The Lebanese don't. The Lebanese government, by the way, Hezbollah is sort of a pseudo-occupying force. The Lebanese government is extremely weak. They can't exert any diplomatic pressure, even to stop violence in their own country. So even when even when the parties went into a negotiation way back when at Camp David, when President Carter was trying to achieve peace between Egypt and Israel, and they wanted to achieve peace, it required 11 consecutive days of presidential involvement and doing nothing else in Camp David with the negotiators, and that thing broke down numerous times, and they wanted to reach a deal, okay?
Yeah.
Plenty of hearts have been broken of American presidents trying to get something negotiated in that region where the differences were not nearly as fast. The bitterness, the bloodshed, the acrimony, not nearly as advanced and traumatic as it is now. They are conceding something that I think has been pretty clear to those watching from the outside for a long time. Though President Biden was relentlessly optimistic, the sides are not interested. And there is a body of thought in the U.S. government and certainly in Europe that Netanyahu doesn't want a deal.
Yep.
Because a deal Correct. Then focuses attention on his future,
yeah.
politically and otherwise.
Yeah. Legally.
So I don't know. I'm not asserting that. But more than one group of analysts looking at this dispassionately has said that the political matrix for Netanyahu does not favor a ceasefire nearly so much as it does continuous warfare.
Hang on, sir. I want to come back with the great Major Garrett, and I want to talk to him about what Donald Trump said yesterday at an anti-Semitism event regarding Jewish voters, and it's on them. And then get to his opponent, the vice president, and her inability to answer direct questions, because I'm left shaking my head almost every time I listen to the vice president answer questions. It's 47 past 12 on CCO. Continuing with Major Garrett, it's 51 past 12, so we're just talking Middle East. The former president had multiple events yesterday speaking to Jewish voters, including one event to Miriam Adelson. Miriam and her late husband Sheldon have donated large, large sums of money to the former president. And the president went back, Major, as you know, to one of his moves whenever he's in front of Jewish groups saying, how could you ever vote for Democrats? You should have your head examined. And if I lose, the Jews will have a lot to do with it. He's at an anti-Semitic event, and he's saying that. It's stunning, and the former president needs to understand something, that there are a lot of people of a lot of faith, and they vote for a myriad, multiple reasons, not just, let's say, a country where their religion may have started. And he can't get over the fact that he thinks every person who's Jewish in this country only votes based on how the U.S. treats Israel. Hot take. There's a lot of people who are of the Jewish faith who don't agree with Benjamin Netanyahu, wouldn't have voted for him, don't agree with how he's handled this. But at an anti-Semitic event, he's generalizing with the best of them.
Or the worst of them.
Yes, correct.
Depending on your point of view.
Yes.
So whenever former President Trump, and this was true when he was president, when he was a candidate, and he was the nominee in 2016, believes he's in a political fix, the transactional part of his persona becomes more visible, and the fangs of it are more clearly evident. And I would just say as a general observation, because this race is not where it was 8 weeks ago, the best that former President Trump can say is he's tied, but in most battleground states he is trailing, depends on the margin, but he's not where he was 8 weeks ago. The race is not where it was. He's feeling less and less confident. He's feeling more and more pressurized. And therefore, in those spaces, and you can look back to his record, he's much more plainly transactional. You do this for that reason. That's my belief. And that's what you're going to do. And if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed in you. This is a transaction here. It's like real estate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want something. You're going to give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, you, whoever you are, I'm going to be disappointed in you, and I'm going to blame you. And not so subtly in that is, if I do win and you weren't with me enough, I'm going to remember.
Yes, a lot of that.
And something may come your way that is unwelcome. One quick other thought about what we were talking about before the break.
Sure.
In any technologically advanced military power, there is always a calculus about something new that the world hasn't seen that you're capable of. And there's a very big risk-reward in showing the world of this new capability. One, you convey what you're able to do. Two, you instantly create a means by which to copy or remanufacture what you've just done that no one's ever seen before. The consequences of what happened this week, to your point a moment ago, may show up in other places, in other conflicts, simply because Israel has now proven to the world this can be done.
Yep.
And it's always a very big risk reward when you have something new the world hasn't seen before, whether or not you use it.
Since we last chatted last Friday, I watched the entire interview that Kamala Harris did with a Pittsburgh anchor. I watched a portion of her interview with the National Association of Black Journalists, and I just saw a number of highlights from her interview with Oprah last night. And I am still stunned at an accomplished individual who has faced interviews for decades, Major, her inability to succinctly and directly answer questions with specifics. She just doesn't want to do it, or she's not capable of doing it. So when people tell me how she's a different person from 4 years ago, well, she is in policy positions. She has more experience. But when one of the two individuals who's going to be president is asked important, valid, specific questions, and she dances all over them constantly, I think people should pay attention to that.
No question. And there is a part of this analysis that they have so far adhered to, which is it's better to run out the clock than to answer questions.
Yep.
And the clock is short. And she's got an interesting option that no other candidate seeking the presidency in the modern era of American politics has had. The shortest clock imaginable, the least amount of rigorous scrutiny, and the most advantageous atmosphere in which to take advantage of a vibe or a sense or an emotional uplift, all of which can help you win an election. They make it painfully difficult, however, to govern. Painfully difficult to govern. And I would observe this about any candidacy for the presidency. You must think about both. Do not kid yourself that only winning matters. Winning matters, of course, first and foremost, because you can't govern without it.
Yep.
But you must marry the two in structure and in concept and in being and who you are. Because if you are trying to establish the means by which to tell Congress, I have a mandate to do this because I've explained it, and I've explained it so thoroughly that my constituents in the country, broadly speaking, know what I'm about and why I'm about that. If you can't connect those dots, politically and otherwise, your agenda, whatever it is, will not get nearly as far. And they're not merging the two, in my estimation, because clearly she, I would think, has answers, would want to make sure people understand those answers, and also internalize the cost of not giving them.
Yep.
Because you're not alone, Chad.
Yeah.
People talk to me about this all the time.
It's not getting
and
better.
They're beginning to get their hair on the backs of their neck raised. Like, what is this?
Yep. I
get
it.
Why are you answering?
I have to go, sir.
I know.
Fabulous
I know.
As always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks.